This is a podcast about two sisters raised in an effed up family. My name is Christine. I am Jesse's older sister. I was raised by a gaslighting, manipulative mother who raised me to believe people either rejected you or weren't rejecting you. My father was a crazy, racist, vulgar alcoholic who was in and out of my life.
And my name is Jesse. I'm Christine's little sister. I was raised solely by the crazy, racist father who raised me to believe I had to earn or buy someone's love.
Hello to all of our Family Burritos listeners out there whose dead judgmental grandmother is sending you loving messages from beyond the grave, such as feathers, big-ass white dogs who look like her old one, and white Mercedes driving extremely slow in front of you with her initials on the license plate. Welcome back to the Family Burrito, episode 25. My name is Christine. My sister Jessie and I created this podcast as a way to heal our judgmental, often secretly drunk, dead grandmother wounds. Jessie!
How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great. My dog decided to start throwing up right before we recorded, so I just got through cleaning up stomach bile all over the floor. And I'm cooking my daughter dinner at the same time, and I'm laughing because I recorded, I had this, her name is Cherie White, and she's a blogger and author, and she's basically a children's advocate for children who have been bullied, because she was bullied really bad when she was a kid. And we recorded the other day. She's in Tennessee, and we're almost towards kind of the end of the episode, and she's talking about, you know, we're talking about like tactics, like physical nonverbal cues that bullies give, you know, to intimidate others. And then she's going into how you mimic their body language, like stare them, you know, directly back in the eye and and have the power stance. Well, and then she goes into, and then I ask her, well, what happens? Because she said most, you know, bullies are coward and they'll back off. And I said, well, what happens if they don't? You know, she's like, then you better be prepared to fight. And so she's going on about, she can grab a trash can, a baseball bat, a stick, you know, all this stuff. Well, as she's like talking about like how you have to become the equalizer, her dog Roxy in the background starts having breathing problems, and the dog's going, you know, as she's like talking about how you have to fight these bullies, you know, with whatever weapon you can find, a chair or whatever. And it's so funny because she's talking as if nothing is going on in the background. And I'm like, I can't even think, you know. And towards the end, she's like, Roxy, stop it. And then she goes, hang on, Christine. And she's like, Roxy, get out of here. And you hear this dog go, and then it, like, you can hear the nails like scurry off on the floor. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard in such a long time. So I'm laughing and smiling because my dog like just threw a recording and now she's dry heaving and stuff right now. So I apologize.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what's going on over here. And how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I just got back from my hike today. Well, I got back earlier, but then I had to like clean shit, you know. Mm-hmm. That's always fun. But yeah, but like you said, finding feathers and stuff, so weird. So you sent me a text, right? Find some feathers.
Mm-hmm.
And I park and I realize that the car next to me has temporary tags that expire on my birthday. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then it just happened to be on a Honda Odyssey, which is the first engine I've ever like actually looked at inside of, you know, like a park. So I was like, oh man, that's the car that taught me about engines. And wow. And then Jackie gets there, we go on our hike and everything. And, you know, I'm looking at, there's so much quartz and granite and up in the Rockies, you know, so it's hard to just go on a hike. You have to also be a rock hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at all these rocks and everything. And then all of a sudden I look up and I see a white dog that looks just like Flojo, like identical. And then I look down immediately to my left, like how random, and there's a big ass fluffy feather. And then like maybe 2-3 steps after that, I found a baby feather.
Wow.
I was like, oh, look. And then I told Jackie about that. I was like, yeah, my sister told me to find some feathers. And then I found one after I saw Flojo.
yeah, which was our dead grandmother's dog.
Yeah, which became my dog after I was born. Like, Flojo liked me way more.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I remember Dad also getting that dog high, too. He'd smoke weed and then blow the marijuana smoke in the dog's face.
Poor Flojo.
Yeah. Well, she could talk. But, yeah, it was so interesting because I just, quite frankly, just with all the business stuff, I haven't felt deeply connected to my spirituality in a bit. And I've just sort of made a decision. I'm just like, I'm going with the flow. I don't have to be doing anything. Like, I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm not planning. I'm not going to research anything. I'm just going to go what feels good. And which is awesome because it's now I'm like starting to connect back to my spirituality. And this morning there were two huge big birds. I don't know if they were hawks or what they were. I think they were hawks. But one was definitely like trying to get my attention, and you and I, whenever when it's a duo, a pair, we always think, it's our grandmother and our Uncle Robbie. And I just looked at the birds and I just said, Grandma, send Jesse a message today. And when you texted me and says you were going to go hiking before the recording, that's when I was like, find a feather. And man, that is just so cool that you found those. That's just really, really. And the whole like with the white dogs, because I've had that before where remember that time that those two random white dogs with no collars on them were just randomly showed up in my driveway and then they never saw them again.
Yeah. And it's just, well, I kind of am glad that I got that today because I needed to recharge, even though it's still kind of, it got like Colorado weather is so bipolar. It's like really warm and then really cold. So it was really nice all week long. And then today, like the high is 52. Mm. So like up in the mountains, it's like 10 degrees colder.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hiking and it's warm because you're working, like you're, body's like working and doing something, mm-hmm. but then you maybe like hit this breeze and it just a gust of wind hits you and you're like, oh my god,
mm-hmm. it's colder than a witch's titty.
It is cold. And then but at least it's like there's no humidity, so it's not like bone chilling. It's just like, oh, mm-hmm. I felt that. So it was, I needed the recharge though, because like this whole past week I realized that I'm not used to being around in a classroom environment anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, you talked about it. I'm a projector. So I tend to pick up people's feelings, not like more of not like an impact, mm-hmm. but
mm-hmm.
I can just feel mm-hmm. I feel it. So, there's this one girl in class and, she's going through a separation right now. She moved here from Hawaii. And she's from Hawaii and everything like that, but she's like very negative, I go to Lincoln Tech and there's a lot of vets that go there, so they have their service dogs. And I was standing in the classroom because I was about to go to the bathroom, so I was at the door and there was a dog in the hallway. Well, the dog and I made eye contact. And immediately the dog comes over to me, because he's like, oh my God, human that loves me and I know will love me. So I'm like, oh, I love you, dog. I love you, petting him and everything. And he goes back to his owner. And I come back to the classroom. I'm like, yeah, I just love every dog I see. And Amanda, without missing a beat, I hate dogs. I hate dogs that jump. I hate dogs that bark. I hate dogs. I'm like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
and it just brought me down because like I was like vibing high. I was like, yeah, dogs, love dogs. And then like she just ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, mm-hmm. damn it, dude. I was like, I don't really typically let people's emotions get to me that much, but mm-hmm. her was so strong. I needed a nap.
Yeah, well, this is so funny that you're talking and you mentioned human design, because you know how much I love my human design, so you have these, so you have your 9 energy centers, and then you have, in each center, you might have what's called a gate, and you have 4 like main gates that are like kind of like your theme in your life. And then you have these things called channels, and these channels carry energy of different kind. They can be like individual energy, they can be tribal energy, community and energy. And I was actually strengths, so nothing's an accident, right? For some whatever reason, I was like, let me look at just these channels, because I'm just figuring out how to figure out, you know, the channel. It's basically where 2 gates connect.
Yeah.
And you have the channel of judgment, and it's not what it sounds like. Okay. So listen, I'm going to read it. So it's the channels. So it goes from your root, which your root is like your pressure center. Right. And then and it goes to your spleen, which is your fears. And fears can be, you know, intuition, like getting you out of dangerous situation, or fear, like you fear I'm not good enough or something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
But so you have this channel of judgment, and it says judgment, and this is from humandesign.tools/HD/channels website. So it says judgment can pose some serious challenges to those who carry this energy. First of all, notice that this channel is way far down in the chart and has no access to the throat. And also notice that this is one of the energy centers in the circuit, the root. One of the challenges of logic is getting the energy to the throat. This is why logic is tenacious. It has to be proven over time and meets with resistance until it stands the test of time. The channel of judgment is purely projected, meaning it serves best when others ask for it. It contains the initiative and the energetic ability to make things correct in order to create a perfect expression of the joy of life. This is the part. Imagine how hard it must be to watch others doing things in less than perfect ways when you know exactly how to make it more correct, and you can't say anything to fix it unless you are recognized or asked.
Very frustrating. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I'm a fucking know-it-all.
Right. Well, and it says this energy can exceptionally be challenging if you have the energy for opinions. That's gate 17. I'll have to look to see.
And while I'm we're so talking. Opinionated.
Mm-hmm.
I got all the opinions.
Yeah.
I'm like Alex Jones over here.
So, yeah, I could imagine that would be very frustrating, because you're like watching something go on, but that energy doesn't go all the way to your throat for you to express it. It's like this way down deep in your first center, you know, and you
yeah.
it, and it's frustrating, but it doesn't go through your throats, you know.
Well, so yeah, I know exactly what you, and this is the thing too, like if this was just the first time, that'd be one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But let me paint a picture for everybody. Okay, imagine sitting in class early because you know you're fucking a geek and you get to class 15 minutes early, and you're talking to your instructor about avocados, and mm-hmm. then some girl walks in not knowing the context of the conversation, I hate avocados, and then goes on a 10-minute rant about avocados.
Yeah. Yeah. And those people I stay far away from. I mean, I know exactly what you mean. There's, you know, been incidences where I've had to, you know, maybe a family member is married to someone that is very negative and opinionated or something. And, you know, in order for me to spend quality time, this person's going to be around, you know. And I mean, it's kind of like, what do you do? What do you say? And I usually just let that person just hold their own and whatever they need to say. And, but I mean, it just, I can't, to being around someone constantly negative is such a, man, that is brings you down. Right. And,
yeah. Yeah. And especially because I have to work on it. Like I wake up angry, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I'm not, like, oh, it's a new day. The birds mm-hmm. are chirping and they're, fuck no. I'm like, fuck this. Mm-hmm. I have to wake up. I have to, you know, get dressed. Like, I am not, like, happy, happy, joy, joy. Mm-hmm. So I have to really work on my energy because of that. Mm-hmm. You know, before I walk out that door, I have to check myself. And, like, sometimes I'll do, like, 10, 15 minutes of yoga. Just a quick, like,
mm-hmm.
appreciation of like my mind and body, and then it kind of gets me in this right vibration. But I don't, but I have to work on it. So when she just comes in and does that, I'm like, oh my god, like, I need to protect my energy. And well, the instructor is the same way. Like, he even has to tell her to stop talking. Like, he has to be like, okay, stop talking about dogs. Like, when she went on that rant about dogs, he was like, okay, stop talking about dogs. The dude is 32. Like, he is our age, and he has to tell us basically how to act.
Yeah. And how old is this person?
31.
And so she's 31, and she's, you're talking about avocados, and she comes in and just starts talking about avocados.
Yeah. And then, like, we got a new guy in class. He's in the Army. Well, he was in the Army. He started last year, but then he got deployed. So he's with us right now. You know, he started over, started with us. And I had to pick his brain. I love people that are in the military because they have a different perception of reality. And I've never been in the military, and boy, I don't want to. So I'm like, man, like, I want to know what your mind is like. And I started talking to him and everything, and we hit it off really well as far as, like, our opinions, you know. Well, you could hear, like, Amanda huffing and puffing because she did not agree with our opinions. And while I know that some things aren't appropriate to talk about in school or anywhere or ever, we weren't talking to her. We were talking to each other. So she wasn't a part of this conversation. She could just hear it. And I was even, like, trying to talk lower so she couldn't really hear it. You know what I mean? Because I was like, I don't want to piss anybody off right now. That's not, like,
right. And that's one thing it says about this channel. It says if you don't wait for the recognition, you run the risk of being perceived as critical by others, and no one likes to be criticized.
Right.
So, and so, and it says the beauty of this channel is that the correction in the 18, the 18 leads to the 58, the joy of life, which then waits to be recognized, and it clears the path for the perfected expression of the joy of life. So it's like you feel that in your roots, you know, and I love that you're, like, not responding. You want to respond, and it drives you crazy. And so then it's like, whatever will happen with all that will lead to your joy, which is pretty cool.
Well, this is the thing, you know, she's very loud. She yelled at that guy, like, because critical race theory came up some fucking how, like, we had, like, a time.
And welding class?
Yeah, because we had, like, downtime, like, we're all caught up or whatever, but we can't leave too early. So we're basically just sitting there.
Yeah.
And I talked about the time when Dad took me out of that school in South Fort Worth because I came home and said I hated white people. You remember that?
I do.
So I was just like, I made the mistake of saying, you know, it's crazy. Like, if you were to really do that today, you'd be, like, seen as a terrorist as a parent. It's like, I realized that I probably shouldn't have said that story, but the context was, before I said that, he was talking about taking his kids out of school because he's worried about what they're learning.
Because he's worried about what?
What they're learning.
Oh, and what are they learning?
Like, you know, sex, shit, and all the other,
like the school is teaching them about sex, or they're learning,
yeah, like transgender, like, you know, different stuff like that. And see, like, he's like, I don't mind if they learn it in middle school or high school, but he's like, my kid's six,
and they're learning it in elementary by the school.
Yeah. Like, some teachers are teaching, like, the different flags and stuff.
Well, and I mean, well, that speaks volumes to education being all over the place, right?
For sure. And especially in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, in Texas, they want to create a fantasy and illusion that's not even true. You know what
right.
I mean?
And that's, I feel like at a certain point, like, there's just an age where you're not supposed to do that. Well, Amanda disagreed. And then she called that guy a stupid fucking idiot. She went after everything but his little dick. And I was, like, in awe. Like, she was talking to a vet like that, first of all. You know how I have bad respect for our veterans. So I'm just like, what?
Wow, I can't imagine she's a very happy person.
Oh, dude, well, she's going through a separation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand that takes a lot out of your energy. You know, like, how the fuck are you supposed to be happy when you're going through, like, a really bad time in your life?
Right. And what's sad, though, is that if she, because she probably, you know, really want support, you know, and she, I mean, I'm just assuming, you know,
right,
that she, I just, from speaking from my own experience, you know, that she really wants support, and but she's so, who knows what happened with the separation, you know, so she's lashing out. And that's kind of like, you know, there's different ways to turn it around. There's different ways to, you know, make it even more worser. Is that a word? Worser?
Yeah, worser, for sure.
Worser. Is that a word?
Yeah, I mean, we can make it one.
Worcestershire sauce. But anyways.
You're making it Worcestershire sauce.
I'm making it Worcestershire sauce. I'm just like ROADS. Anyways, but I said to me, like, and it's hard to, because like we talk about, do the opposite of what your brain says. It's hard because the ego goes, what the hell? She's attacking. What the and how dare she attack a vet?
Yeah.
My thing I would do, because after one, the first time I'd be like, what the hell? I'm reacting.
Right.
And the second time she does it again, I'm like, okay, what's going on with her now? And the third time I'm like, Amanda, what do you need in this moment?
Yeah, that's what I'm like trying to figure out, because she's already yelled at me about the damn dogs.
Yeah.
And you know how I am when people raise their voice to me. I either shut down,
mm-hmm.
or I also go
for the jugular
level.
Mm-hmm. Right, you know? Right. Go nuclear.
And at this point, I had to shut down. I was at school.
Right, right, right.
Like in my brain, I was like, just follow her home. You know what kind of car she drives?
Yeah, the revenge car. the Lifetime movie where you're in a diaper driving across the United States following her home.
Exactly. I'm like, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah.
But then the loving, you know, human side of me, like, oh, we're all the same bullshit.
Because mm-hmm.
We are all the same, right?
Like, right.
We all have our own crazy-ass lives going mm-hmm. on behind mm-hmm. the scenes. Wants to be like, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like she is, I don't know, I don't want to offend anybody, but I guess I'm probably going to offend some people. Look at what you have and look at your attitude.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I'm not like this amazing person. Like, I'm like trying to make myself out to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
I try to change my attitude though. When I see it going into a negative direction, I'm like, nope. Think abundance, think
mm-hmm. right.
Great health, amazing. Like mm-hmm. just think all the good things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a look at what I have, mm-hmm. you know, like I have 3 motorcycles. I have a car. Mm-hmm. I have a pretty nice house. I'm like able to pay for school right now.
Yeah. You got natural titties.
I got natural titty. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, it's just one of those things where I'm just like, okay, well, a lot of people in my position that are 31 or 32, like she is, are waitressing at Olive Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with it. It's more or less like her attitude towards things and what she has. She has
4. Yeah.
I have Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she's unhappy and she probably didn't get like this overnight. Right. Like, right. She probably something, you know, she wasn't born like this, definitely. Right. So something led up to her being this unhappy. And I'm assuming that she's had this sort of carried this whatever energy with her and probably got married someone who wasn't very nice. I mean, I'm just assuming, by the way. I don't even know Amanda.
He drinks, apparently. He's
yeah, and then let me tell you, her father was probably an alcoholic. You know what I mean? So,
well,
you know.
Yeah. I haven't heard much about her daddy, but I've heard about her mom. And
yeah.
I feel like she got her attitude from her mama.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, and then, you know, most alcoholics are abusive, you know, verbally abusive at least.
Right.
And so you grow up hearing that you're a piece of crap your whole life. And so it just carries on. I'm curious though, like when y'all have these conversations, like who kind of starts them? What do y'all talk? Y'all just BSing kind of thing?
Yeah, we're just kind of BSing. And when it comes to some things, I would say I was the starter of uh-huh. the conversation because I fucking love talking.
Right, right. I think what would be cool, like if you, like, since it sounds like you're like a leader, which is cool, just unknowingly a leader, but you like to talk, like, you know, you could start it off and maybe you'd be like, I know this sounds cheesy, but hey, what are 5 things you're grateful for? You know? And then you just start talking. I'm grateful for blah. And they might be go, huh? And just keep talking. I'm grateful for, and then look at who the army guy, what are 5 things you're grateful for? And watch the domino effect. Now, I don't know what will happen with her. I'll be curious to find out what, if she's able to.
I'll let you know tomorrow.
Yes. Like, let me know tomorrow. Because it would be interesting to see what she says. If she says something like, I don't have anything to be grateful for, you know, then it's kind of like, well, what would you like to be grateful for? What would your life? Because we get stuck in the past, right? We get stuck in that energy of all those emotions. Our emotions are like stored memories from the past, and they basically haven't healed. So when we're angry, it's not really angry or frustrated what's going on right now in the current moment. It's whatever happened in childhood when we first experienced that. We haven't healed that cycle. So that's where, you know, for my shift, my personal shift was, I would go back and go like, when was the first time I experienced disappointment, you know, or I felt like I disappointed somebody.
Yeah.
And it went back to, of course, grandmother, but, you know, and then look at it, how it made me who I am today and how I'm grateful for that terrible experience. Yes. You have to have duality. You have to have both. You have to have love and hate. Right.
Yeah.
So it's hard for people to, you know, get out of that when they're just so stuck in it. So, yeah, I would be curious, just dominate that combo and just start talking about things you're grateful for, you know, and maybe, you know, whatever you want to be grateful for. I mean, by the way, you continue to be yourself. I mean, you know, you have awareness, you're working on stuff. We're all working on stuff. And, you know, I know it's hard to, I love though that you were able to recognize there's like this moment where you really want to go off, you know, but you're not going to, because, you know, that's not going to serve you. Right.
Yeah. No. And it just made me look like an idiot.
Yeah. Well, who cares if you look like an idiot, you know, but
well, I mean, at that point in time, it's like, you know, time and place type of thing.
Right. But, and if you're in front of your instructor, I get that.
Yeah. And, you know, yesterday this Amazon truck kept like fucking with me, like hitting his brakes and then like going, and then he stopped in front of my house so I couldn't like park.
What?
Yeah. And it was a whole thing, and then he would move up a little bit. So in that moment I was like, I'm gonna fucking kill this guy. I was like, dude, I have to pee. Oh, I had to pee. If I didn't have to pee, I really wouldn't probably care. But I had to pee so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I have cameras outside of my house. And Michael was like, you weren't riding his ass or anything. I saw the whole thing. Like, he was just being a jackass for whatever reason. Like, he didn't like your face. And so I got out of my car. I started chasing the Amazon truck. Like,
yeah,
what the fuck, bitch? You know, just chase the Amazon truck. Oh,
Yes.
You seem to
be getting a lot of conflict with strangers on the road with cars when you're with Michael. That's fascinating.
Oh, I wasn't with Michael. He was in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving home. I was driving home from dinner with friends, and I just had to pee really fucking bad.
Yeah, but why? But what about your face? Why would your face piss off the Amazon driver? Because you were like making grouchy faces?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I think it was more or less like a joke when he said he just didn't like your face.
Mm.
I feel like the Amazon truck thought I was riding his ass. And that's why he was doing that, because he might have felt like I was too close. And then that's why I like rewatched the video. Mm-hmm. And Michael was like, no, I watched it all. You weren't riding his ass. Like, you could clearly see like you were giving him like 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would just move really slow.
Did you get the license plate?
Yeah, it's on camera. But most of the time road rage does happen when I'm in the car with Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Because like he'll try to like, I don't know, he'll start shit, somebody else will start shit, and he doesn't back down.
Yep.
For me, when I'm driving, I try really hard to just remind myself that that person's probably like in their own little world and not really concerned about me.
Right.
So but sometimes though, I, you know, I'll get pissed off like chasing an Amazon truck.
Yeah.
I'll catch you, motherfucker.
Oh no. And then do what? Like, then what happens?
Exactly.
Then what happens, girl? Well, that's all I know. To be continued, Jesse.
To be continued.